Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to the show. Welcome to a very special edition of Action Movie Anatomy. Today we have two incredibly awesome guests to break down the film D-Day. We're gonna see you guys in just one quick second.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Action Movie Anatomy.
Boom! We weren't sure if the music was coming or not.
Yeah, we didn't know if we should do the explosion, because you guys are so explosive anyway that we just,
just did it anyway.
Yeah, we did it. That was live. That was improv.
We can just start over.
You guys did great. I thought you did great.
Yeah. Welcome to the show, guys. Welcome to a very special edition of Action Movie Anatomy. We welcome two of the hottest up-and-coming stars in Hollywood today. We have Mr. Jesse Cove and Mr. Weston Cage Coppola.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for coming. This is, we do like long form hour, like talking about a movie, but we don't often get like stars of the movie as it's coming out. And, you guys want to Collider Live, which friends of ours do that show as well. And so we watched that interview. We were really excited that you guys wanted to come on and hang out and talk about the movie. So,
yeah, usually we just get on and geek out about a movie for like an hour, but we figured if you guys were going to be here, we should talk to you about kind of growing up in Hollywood, your parents, your family life growing up, when you decided that the arts were for you, and then, of course, we've got to talk about D-Day.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope so. I hope we're going to talk about D-Day.
Yeah, no, absolutely, yes.
At some point.
So you guys are on a press tour right now. You're doing all kinds of stuff all over the city and running around, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We do as much as we can. We're really excited about this movie. It's very authentic, we feel, and very excited to see the reaction.
Yeah. How long was filming on this for you guys?
This was 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
2 weeks of filming.
Cool.
Yeah, about that. I think they did a little bit afterwards and before, but yeah, it was roughly like 2 to 3 weeks, yeah.
Okay, sweet. So I recently, I got to interview your dad, Marty Cove, who I kind of go back, like the Kessler family, Alex mm-hmm. Kessler's a good friend of mine, and they called him Uncle Marty growing up. So the LA kids, that whole thing. And so I told him I was doing this interview today. He was really excited. He says hello.
Awesome. Hi back.
Yeah. But I want to talk to you guys a little bit about D-Day specifically. So was this for either of you sort of the first big like war set type of deal you'd been a part of?
Well, for both of us, yes. For me, this is the second World War II movie that I've done.
Okay.
I did a movie a couple years ago with Joseph Fiennes called On Wings of Eagles.
Cool.
Which was basically about, World War II happening in China just before it started and putting Americans in, internment camps. And it was actually the unofficial sequel to Chariots of Fire. So that was an amazing experience. And then jumping into this with Wes, going into the European side as soldiers was a really amazing, amazing thing to do.
So can you talk a little bit about like the difference of set? Because World War II, obviously the sets are one of the biggest and best parts of the movies we've seen it, whether it's Saving Private Ryan or you go back to really any war film period. Can you talk about the difference of the set design every single day with the difference of that in the movies you guys have worked on in the past?
Yeah, this movie really, once again, it had so much verisimilitude and the environment was perfect. We found a perfect place to film to make it look like it was Normandy. Because this particular battle was the integral operation that went down in order to really secure the beaches and to remove the cannons. So the Battle of Pointe du Hoc, lesser known battle, it's when the 2nd Army Rangers, led by Colonel Lieutenant Rudder, who I had the honor of playing, Lieutenant Colonel Rudder, sorry. So we had that cliff there that looked exactly like it, and it showed us having to scale it and having to reach those guns.
Yeah, it was pretty grueling. I mean, the cool thing about this is that most people don't know about this story because it happened on the same day as D-Day, and it happened, I think it was like 2 to 3 miles west of Omaha Beach, which is where the main invasion happened. Yeah. And, these men were ordered to literally, on LCAs, arrive at the beach, then shoot these, ropes that had hooks on them up to the tops, then climb these ropes, and then, take out the Nazis that were on top, then clear the bunkers that were out on top, and then go inland to find these cannons. Artillery cannons that were pointed at the beach that were pointed at the men who were at Omaha Beach. So it was a really important mission that we didn't even really know about until we jumped into it. So it's going to be really amazing for people to see this story and see that another story of that day that people can see these heroes that did these amazing, amazing things that were, it was a, like Wes said, an integral part of the victory of D-Day.
General Omar Bradley literally said that this was the most difficult task to be wished upon a soldier at the time. It was one of the most dangerous operations. And then on top of that cliff wasn't just any defensive position. It was one of the most heavily armed and dangerous.
Well, especially you guys got to tell the story because, you know, the further we get, obviously, from World War II, the less and less there's going to be stories told about, like, the, as you said, the lesser-known battles and things like that. Yes. You know, you have to really dig in the history books, and so it's exciting.
Yeah, this cliff sounds insane. I was reading a little bit and watched some of you guys' interviews talking about how this was one of the most grueling films that either of you had ever worked on. I think you said it was the roughest film you've ever worked on physically. Can you guys talk a little? Was this cliff involved a lot? Were you guys scaling the cliff daily, or did you guys do any rock climbing, any prep?
We kind of wanted to, but you know, we would kind of go like 6 feet up, and then they of course had stunt guys that would really go to the top, which was amazing. That they, I mean, you know, this cliff was really high, and they went up there, and it was just, you know, Wes and I would talk every day about, you know, I mean, and Wesson's a fighter. I mean, Wesson's an amazing trained fighter, champion fighter, and
25 years now.
Yes.
Really? Wow.
Yes. So, you know, we, you know, and I'm in the gym all the time, and I, you know, I love physical activity. So for us, you know, we kind of went in like, oh, we got this and we can handle all this. And I mean, we were literally exhausted every day. We were running, one day we were running on the beach for 8 hours straight, just literally take after take after take, and with all these other guys. And it was, you know, we were dirty and filthy every day.
Yeah.
But it felt so good at the same time. Yeah. You know, we went to set together every day, and, you know, we would, you know, talk about the day after that, and we would just, like, our cars looked like they, you know, went through the desert. I mean, it was just, it was amazing.
Yeah. Interesting. So you guys have favorite war films, I'm assuming. You're big movie lovers, right?
Of course,
Absolutely. I think Saving Private Ryan
is the best one.
I would go up there with that, too. That's pretty incredible.
It's pretty good. I think that's his, too.
That's actually hands down my favorite.
Your favorite war film?
And Wind Talkers as well, I have to.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's a good era, too. There's like that era where it's like right after 9/11, where like all of the action movies at that point became war movies.
Yes.
They just like switched, right? So you left all the like the Con Airs and the Face Offs, and it all became like Wind Talkers, and it was Hearts War, and we were soldiers, and you know, Tears of the Sun. They were just like back to back. I like that movie though.
And that was, I think, a lesser known. I mean, it's known, but it should be more celebrated. The fact that the Navajo actually went into these jets and were that they were able to communicate in their language to disrupt the Japanese. I mean, that's
saved us the war.
Yeah, it's a great
movie. So you guys were talking about, you know, leaving set afterwards, talking, hanging out, talking about your day, as you know, most people do on set. But you guys have been doing this since you were kids. You know, this is one thing that we kind of have to talk about. You guys grew up together, making movies together, playing with video cameras together, hanging out in high school together. Can you talk a little bit about what it was like growing up being the sons of Nick Cage, the sons of Marty Cove, and then when you guys actually became buddies?
I mean, our brotherhood is literally destiny. I've seen footage of Jesse as a child with his sister Rachel making movies, and it brought tears to my eyes because it's so similar to what I grew up doing, getting a video camera, having a concept, and materializing the artistry and the philosophy and the concept that you have inside of you, and to actually be in that state of mind. And when Jesse and I met in high school 12 years ago, gosh, that's so long, man. 12 years ago.
Feels like yesterday.
We just realized that we had the same interests and similar personalities and with the same priorities, enjoying travel, enjoying history, and taking our artistry very seriously, and then also desiring true love. And Jesse and I both have that. Jesse was actually the best man at my wedding.
Yes, very true. I was honored to be. And speaking of which, I just recently got engaged. My love.
Congratulations,
Ainsley, if you're watching,
man.
I love you so much. My love.
Hila, my soulmate. I love you beyond the confines of the human heart.
Love you, baby.
I'm so alone. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't worry, they're out there for you. You're putting yourself out there, so they're going to find you anyway. You're a lot easier than most men.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you know, what Wes was saying, we were in theater class, and I just, you know, he was talking, and I, you know, I knew a little bit about him, and then he just was talking about history and all this stuff, and I, you know, we had such a similar upbringing, and we just got to talking about, you know, cigars and traveling and movies, and we just instantly, there was this great connection, and we started hanging out, and fortunate enough, we were able to, you know, travel the world together, and, you know, we there was like this mutual understanding of each other that we had, you know, growing up the way we did, which is, you know, normal to us, you know, being on movie sets and playing with all kinds of things on set and just, you know, seeing explosions and, you know, daddy shooting this guy or whatever who's evil. We're like, okay, you know, and then, you know, they justify it. Well, it's fine. But, you know, so we had this understanding of each other and it was really an incredible thing. It's like, wow, like, you know, he like almost understands what I'm saying and everything and he gets it. And so it was just this beautiful connection that we've been able to share and grow. It's just been incredible.
Was
so,
you? Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so there's no ego when you guys, because as you said, you kind of heard of him, and I'm assuming growing up in LA with famous parents, you keep running into people or hearing about other kids of other famous people's children. Did you hear about each other? Was there was no macho complex, no ego complex in that theater class? It was just like, hey, I know you, I've heard of you, let's be brothers.
Yeah, it didn't allow it. They just our brotherly connection, it wouldn't allow any of that
cool
egotistical energy or anything like that. It was amazing.
Andrew and I had to get into a knife fight when we first met each other. No, I'm just still got a scar from it. So you talked about like kind of realizing your artistry and you know, video cameras and stuff like that. I know you did some improv and you were a musician, so you guys tried out a bunch of different stuff. Talk a little about that. I mean, you played guitar, are you a singer as well?
Yes, guitar, bass, drums, bouzouki, sitar, mandolin, a bit of everything. That really enhances my acting, interestingly enough. I believe in becoming and reacting more so than acting, but it enhances my ability to really get into touch with my emotions and to also leave myself when I'm playing instruments. And we've jammed before, Jesse and I. I remember one time in the garage, you got on the drum kit one time. Yeah. And we jammed. It was.
Yeah.
I think it's all from... you know, many constellations of the creative arts, you know, music and cooking even.
Yeah.
You
know, being creative.
Absolutely.
I love a good omelet. Yeah. Oh,
that was our thing too. When we were, you know, younger, we would always, it was just pure creation all the time. We'd meet up at each other's houses. We'd film these skits. We'd make these movies and, you know, and then we'd make our own music, and Wes had, because he was a musician, you know, he had all this amazing music equipment and we would score our own little shorts and things. I mean, it was just, it was amazing. It was just all the time. We were just, you know, constantly creating. It was just fabulous.
So you talk about using your art to get into character. Now, obviously, this is a World War II film. It's probably very serious throughout the day. It's, you know, very intense scenes, very high stakes, very high emotion. What do you guys do? Is any improv coming out? Any music come into actually getting into character? Or can you just talk to us about getting into character for this type of film?
I mean, Wes and I definitely, before we jumped in, funny story how we even got this movie together, which we should talk about. It's really funny.
I'd love to.
But, you know, for me personally, I think Wes and I share a little bit of this too. It's like, you know, there's a little bit of method as well, you know, like we want things to be real, but also, you know, I thrive on like creation, you know, being able to, like, if I meet someone, I find something that I like about them, you know, they're really a nice person, kind. And then all of a sudden, if they were to like go away, like that would actually like not feel good. So I, you know, work upon that. And then, you know, we read a lot and we talked a lot about our characters, and if you want to continue from there.
Yeah, with this, you know, I feel like we really did the work of researching to the point to where we could construct the best replication of these psychologies before entering them. And that a lot of relaxation and being meditative and really reflecting on the reality of the situation and the history itself, looking at it as an obligation to bring honor to more honor to these families and, you know, to these people that gave their lives, and to veterans across the globe and soldiers that are in active duty now and reserve, everyone. But I really believe that the imagination is something that, you know, we have to surrender to the cosmos and allow that energy to come through you.
Yeah,
we talked a lot about that when we were on set, just like how much we wanted to honor these men who really put their lives on the line for this cause. And, you know, we really took it very seriously. You know, hopefully if these families end up watching the movie at some point, they, you know, they feel this sense of honor and you know, that we were able to do that for them and portray their loved ones, you know, justly so. And that was something that we took a lot of care in. You know, we'd drive down to set and we'd talk about, you know, imagine being these guys really doing this. Yeah. You know, even on the days where we were running on the beach, even though we were exhausted, you know, we always joked that we could take a break and grab a cup of coffee or whatever, but we were like, imagine if these guys, what they really went through, I mean, being shot at and, it was just, you know, we were constantly having that going on in our heads about it, and, you know, amping each other up and pushing each other forward. It was a, you know, push and pull for both of us going forward.
You mentioned the story about how you got the movie. How did you guys end up in the film together?
This is one of the great miracles of the universe, this story. So Jesse and I are always in contact about our craft and our lives and everything that's going on. And I texted Jesse that I thought I did really well in an audition. And he said the same thing, that he did wonderfully well in an audition. I was like, oh, this is great. I was like, yeah, mine's a World War II movie. And he goes, mine too. And the more and more the conversation progressed, we realized that we had auditioned for the same movie.
Different and parts, though.
Different parts. Well, at first, I auditioned for LaMelle, and then he auditioned for Rudder.
Oh, wow.
And then after that, they had me come in person to go for Rudder, and then had Jesse go in for LaMelle. And it worked out perfectly before we knew we were on set together with conjoined trailers and opened up the door so that we could talk and
it was amazing. It was awesome. It never happens. It's just incredible. Yeah.
That must have been incredible. So did you guys had no idea that either of you had booked it until you were actually on set that day?
We had no idea that we booked it, but there was a period when we were in contact with our management and just like, let us know what's going on. Like, you know, we're at the finals now.
Yeah. And, he called me. He called me. He's like, I got it. He's like, I'm saying prayers for you. And then all of a sudden, like within an hour, I got the call that I got it as well.
That's wow. So cool. And then what we had a crazy.
Yeah. It was such a blessing. And then like 2 days later, we had a table reading and it was just, it was incredible. I mean,
people would come up to us seeing our friendship and just the way we converse and be like, is something going on? You guys friends or something? Like,
you know each other?
Yeah.
Quick to jump in. Yeah,
come on, have a seat. Let's talk, you know.
So that was the first time since you guys were high schoolers that you've like worked on a feature film or worked on a film together.
To this magnitude. Right. We've done a couple smaller things together, you know, independent films and a couple of different pilots. And but yeah, to this magnitude, to carry a film like this, it was incredible. It was just amazing. And you know, because our friendship was so strong, like we were able to just kind of trust each other on set, you know, and we had this dialogue and you know, it's almost like we kind of, and being rehearsed it beforehand and also just letting things unfold naturally as well, we just were able to read each other and play off each other. And it was, I hope that you know, carries through into the film and other people see it, that there is like a history between us, you know, and that there's a trust. So it was really, it was an amazing experience. I always say it's like summer camp, you know, we have this amazing time, even though how grueling it all was at the same time. It was so much fun. We had a really great time.
So you guys, you're going through management, you're auditioning for this. Obviously, having grown up here with parents in the business, do you feel like it helped or hindered more to have a famous parent who was a very successful actor?
I think it can cause confusion at first.
Yeah.
But I believe that my dad really made it to where I had to do this on my own and to prove myself. And he gave me tremendous amount of insight growing up. I mean, his critiquing and his lessons and his philosophies really helped me grow as an actor. So I think that ultimately it helped because of not because of my name or anything, but because of how lucky I was to have a father that really brought sunlight to those seeds in me.
Any like memorable insight that comes to mind when you think about growing up as an actor that like shaped you?
I remember one time I was doing a play. And this was just for elementary school, or I believe it was for actually Youth Academy of Dramatic Arts. And my dad and I were just sitting down, and he showed me how to really take my time with the script and the importance of delivery, and how delivery really, that's, you could say, like, if your line is, I love you, but you say, I love you, like, the tonality completely changes everything. The tonality, right. The delivery, and he just taught me the control that we can have over our music, which really it all comes down to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think that having a dad that you know, and a mother that were so invested in me being creative and to mastering my abilities, it helped. But definitely there are a lot of people that were like, oh, you're only here because of this, or
sure, right.
Nepotism, assuming that.
Yeah.
But as soon as they meet me and get to know me well enough, they'll probably wind up understanding that I like to go fishing and stuff like that.
And normal,
you know, I like to go for walks in the forest. And, Yeah, I'm not like that.
This is literally the insight you guys are getting onto like how our friendship started, because we would talk about that stuff too,
right? Okay, you know, same kind of stuff for you.
Very similarly, like, you know, my father would, you know, same thing, and he didn't push me to get in the industry either. He didn't even want me to be in the industry. He never pushed me. He just kind of let me do it on my own. And, you know, eventually when I started, you know, acting, and you know, he'd come on set or I'd be working on something, and he'd, you know, very similar to Weston, he'd say something like, you know, what Jesse, what's the subtext to what you're saying? Yeah. What does it really mean, what you're saying? And then I'd really think about it. And he was just always such a mentor that way for me. And, you know, we him and I have a great friendship as well. And, you know, our dads have hung out together. We've all had, you know, hung out and had a bunch of laughs and talked about the hilarity of the movie business and, you know, the ups and downs. And yeah, so those are some of the things that we would, you know, bond over and stuff like that. And, you know, one of the things that he always said to me, which was always something I remember today, was like, you know, he's always saying, like, you know, be as persistent as possible, but do it with class. You know,
cool.
Yeah,
that's very cool.
And so now our ladies are really great at confirming whether we become the character or not. I mean,
yes.
My wife, you know, love her beyond the confines of the universe. She is able to let me know when I've actually really left my body and I'm not acting like Weston anymore. And it's a great validating thing to hear when I've done my lines and she's like, oh, that's not my man. Yeah. Then I know that I've.
Yeah.
Reach the goal.
Yeah, they're so incredibly supportive. Having, like, you know, Wes and I are huge romantics. We love talking about our fiancés and our wives, and, you know, without them, like, I don't think we'd be able to do this stuff, the support that they give us to be able to do this. You know, like Ainsley, you know, she, the first day before set, before, you know, Wes and I went down, she, like, cooked me all this amazing food before I went down. She wanted me to eat well, and I'm just like, that's, you know, that's just that love right there that allows us to do what we have to do and invest ourselves. Absolutely. You know, it's just a beautiful thing. We're
my
so
wife
grateful.
was in the trailer with me doing lines, making sure that I got them. We were very, very grateful to have that, because that's the thing we've always desired.
Yes. Did you guys feel that on set with one another? The when you'd be delivering lines, you've known each other for so long, you've been buddies for so many years. Was there moments where you're like, who the hell is this guy? That's not Wes.
We would do something or whatever, and like we'd come up to each other and be like, oh my, Wes, like that was beautiful what you just did. Like, that was amazing what you did. I remember even on set, it was like there was this day it was raining like crazy, and I had his set of sides with me holding them, and, you know, we want to help each other out, and you know, the scripty was somewhere else, and he was doing his dialogue, and I was sitting there in the rain just like watching him hitting, making sure he hit his lines, and then like they cut and I'd be like, Wes, like, you know, this, remember we talked about doing it like this way? And then he was like, oh yeah. And then we, you know, we just worked with each other that way. It was just amazing. We just had each other's backs the whole time.
You really transformed even your idiosyncrasies. You developed new idiosyncrasies, which is becoming. That's exactly what you want.
Right. Incredible. Smoking the Lucky Strikes. Yeah, I went this far, you know, having the original Lucky Strikes on set all the time. I went and bought like a Zippo lighter from the time. Yeah, I wanted it to be as authentic as possible.
That's cool.
Did you feel that you're, because there's other big names in this movie, you know, you got Chuck Liddell and Randy Couture, you know, guys that have been around in, whether it's the fighting industry, the entertainment industry, for a very long time. Did you feel that level of professionalism or connection as well with these guys on set, or was it more of just like you guys got into your scenes, did your thing, and then went back to your trailers?
What do you think, man?
Well, Wes had most of the scenes with Chuck and Randy. You know, Wes even had this great little, like, you know, tumble with Randy, which was great.
Yeah,
it was
fun
to watch
that scene.
They were fantastic. Fighters, together. Yeah.
His hands were like stones and bear claws. He had very, very heavy hands. And
you said, nice to meet you. Like, his hand just takes over your entire
hand. Yeah, yeah. It brought me back to my old wrestling days when you tie up with a. But he had like these heavyweight hands, and that scene was excellent because he really became his character. And then Liddell, you know, seeing him in that general outfit, the uniform, walking in there with all the plans and write-ups from Eisenhower. Yeah. It was fantastic.
And such nice guys. Like, such nice, you know, they're tough warriors, but they're just like Wes. I mean, they're just the nicest guys, and they're happy to be there, and lots of laughing. It was awesome.
Well, I've heard that a lot of. Or go ahead.
I was just gonna say that there's like this energy that fighters, guys who have fought professionally, carry around, and it's like this tough guy. But they always seem like they're pretty nice guys.
They're so sweet.
I don't really know why that is, but like the tough guys always seem like they're really sweet.
Yeah.
So you got to have a scuffle. So we had this kind of game we wanted to play with you.
Sure.
It's called Chuck or Randy.
Chuck or Randy. Oh,
so all right, you finish on set, you get in your trailer, you got to use the restroom, but somebody's in your trailer. You scream at them, get out of my bathroom. Then you realize it's their trailer. You open the door. Who'd you rather be, Chuck or Randy?
Oh man!
You were yelling at a man in his own bathroom to get out. Who would you rather be yelling at?
So like, would I rather get punched with the overhand right that has like atomic energy behind it, or would I rather get choked out? I guess Randy, because I feel like Randy would put me in a submission.
Okay.
Chuck would sock me in the face and I wouldn't be able to finish the movie.
Jesse? Probably Randy.
Okay.
I feel like he might actually, like, you know, I feel like Chuck would just automatically kind of get in there and solve the problem. You know,
what is this punch, 1400 PSI? Yeah. I mean, it's, wow. It's ridiculous.
At least the death would be quick.
Yeah.
You know, that would be great.
Okay. All right. So that was a little intense. Let's reel it a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
It's Wednesday night. It's 10 p.m. You have got to compete in a baking challenge at 9 a.m. on Thursday morning. Who are you calling? Chuck or Randy?
Compete in a baking challenge. I would choose Chuck.
Chuck.
Yeah, I'd go with Chuck, too.
Really? Chuck's a baker.
Chuck's the hands of a baker.
I know he wears the apron and he does the whole thing. I know. He's got the little chef's hat on. I know that Chuck does that.
All right. It's... high school prom night. You're picking up your date. You open the door. Her dad opens the door. Who'd you rather see, Chuck or Randy?
Neither.
Oh, man.
I'm going to go with Randy.
Yeah, okay. I would as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Seems like Chuck's just going to solve the problem in all the examples.
Hits you in the face.
That's what we're trying to avoid, is that punch.
Yeah.
All right. It's another universe. You guys don't have the loves of your lives. You're single. You're at a bar. Who's your wingman, Chuck or Randy?
Probably Chuck. Could like do some fun stuff, I think, that would entice people, you know, putting holes in walls that would, you know, bring a crowd around you, probably.
Yeah. He does magic tricks. He's a magician.
Exactly. Yeah.
He could also fight off all the other guys.
Well, that was the next question. Who do you want in the bar fights? So there you go. You just answered before I even asked you.
Sure. Yeah.
All right, so last one is the end of the night. You're deciding, I think I can get this girl. I think I can get her number. You've got to pull off the dirty dancing routine where you've got to be lifted by Chuck or Randy.
Yeah,
you're being lifted.
Yeah, who do you want to do the Swayze part?
Randy. I'd say Randy.
Yeah,
really?
I'd be looking at Ainsley and I'd have Randy come over and then just lift me up and
she'd be like, that's the guy.
Yeah,
that's she'd be smooth. The one.
Yeah.
That's an all-time picture if you get that one done. All-time picture. All right, that wraps up Chuck or Randy. Thank you guys so much for being
awesome. Thanks for indulging us.
It's great.
So we have one last bit that we want to do, and it's kind of on the subject here of your fathers, who we're big fans of, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And so we pulled some clips, we pulled some audio clips, and you know, because I know you guys, you know, known each other in high school. I'm assuming like you guys would go hang out, you go out on the weekends, like you must have had to talk to each other's dads, maybe pull the wool once or twice, like, oh, we'll be back by 11, right? So you got to know each other's dads pretty well, right?
Yeah. Oh, we joke about each other's dads all the time. We make fun of each other's dads all the time.
So we pulled these clips, and there's a Fugazi in there. There's a fake one. So we're gonna have you call out the Cove clips and you call out the Cage clips.
Okay.
And you got to listen and tell us which is the real and which is the fake.
Oh, wow.
Okay. We're just going to go one at a time. We got three each. They're pretty short, pretty sweet.
I'm not going to tell you how many real, how many fake.
I'll just say Cage.
Yeah.
All right, no, you'll just say real or fake.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
Jess, or Ryan, you in the booth?
Yep.
Am I going first?
Who you want to go first? You want to go with a Cove clip or a Cage clip?
Let's do a Cove clip.
Okay. That means you're up first, Weston.
All right, Weston.
Here we go.
And then the only thing I love more than Billy.
Real.
Which is what I've been entertaining and hearing from the writers, and they're putting it into the script. It's Cobra Kai.
Real.
Real?
Sure.
100%?
100%.
Correct.
You are correct.
You are correct. Spot on. He knew it right away.
He did.
There's like a cosmic connection to us.
We should have done better jobs.
All right.
Let's go with the cage clip.
Here comes the cage clip.
It was originally titled Tokarev, then they changed the title to Ridge.
Fake.
It is in fact fake.
That is in fact not Nick Cage.
Who did that?
Well, we'll get there.
We'll get there.
All right, we're gonna play another Marty clip.
Anyway, I got a meeting to read for the new Ramble.
Okay.
Could I hear that one more time?
Yes.
One repeat.
Anyway, I got a meeting to read for the new Ramble.
Okay.
Hmm.
Ooh.
Real. I think that's real.
That's real, yeah.
That is correct.
Think about it. The kicker on that one was that the guy that says okay was me when I was interviewing. So I was like, I hope he doesn't pick up on that.
I was going to say, I think that's you.
Yeah. All right, let's play another cage clip here.
You're not going to go go to dire straits buying an octopus. Come on, David.
That's totally fake.
I love it. I love how my pet octopus and the octopus tradition comes into, like, I always hear about it.
Yeah, the octopus.
I literally have this beautiful octopus. I did for years.
Oh, wow.
He used to play with this little floating beach ball that would be in there, and he would, like, find his way out of my tank, and he was literally out of the aquarium, just a marine animal chilling in your bedroom. Like,
gotta get back in the water. That's amazing.
Like, are you trying your crabs?
All right, we got one more clip for each of you.
One each.
Yeah.
I mean, his father was my idol, and we had a lot of fun moments talking about Steve McQueen.
Yep.
And, I mean,
Rio.
Yeah. We tried to pull the wool on you. We tried to play three real ones and see if maybe you'd guess what was fake. But, no, you didn't fall for it.
Love it.
It's too good.
Yeah.
All right, last one.
Last one, last cage clip.
I was drinking champagne at 9 years old with my father and eating Kentucky Fried Chicken. So that would be the first time I ate my favorite dish. That combination.
I'm going to say that's completely a real cage right there.
That's a real cage.
That's it.
Yes, totally.
The champagne with KFC.
You got it.
So your friendship has been confirmed here on Action Movie Anatomy.
You guys know the voices. Yeah, you guys were perfect. We considered not pulling the octopus clip because we knew it was so outrageous.
Yeah.
But we also felt like we needed one that wasn't just like the standard, like lower register.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So the third and final game, we're going to have you guys prank call each other's dead.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that'd be great. So right before we take off here, guys, we want to talk just a little bit more about D-Day. Just anything about it that really stuck out for each of you individually for it making a unique experience. I mean, every time you're on set, it's going to be different. Things that stand out, things that stick with you for a long time. Do you guys have one from D-Day?
I would say for me, it's the connection that I felt watching these characters and how it's really humanizing and it brings you closer to the fact that, you know, with all that glory and the triumphant, valorous power that one connects to when they're going into battle, that there's still a person that has a family back at home. And of course they're people, but we sometimes forget, you know, how emotionally damaging that could really be, because they have so much at home, and that they have these lives that they had left to sacrifice so much for this country. And I think that this film really just brings awareness to that, because you really get to see all these different characters and how they really are, and, you know, when the rifle's down, what they talk about. And I think that it's brings you closer to that.
That's how it'll stick with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the other thing too, like, I mean, there's so many different things, so many different facets of this movie that were, you know, off camera and on camera. Like, I loved seeing the other actors who we worked with who were phenomenal, you know, the commitment that they gave that helped us, and, you know, we worked off each other, seeing all the little things that they created for those characters and how, you know, how deep they were willing to go. It was really amazing, you know, really to see that, you know, and even, you know, like what Wes was saying, kind of even in these throes of war, to see these little moments of like, oh, like there's a scene where there's a dog in the movie, right? And there's like this little bit of joy that comes out just from the dog that comes out when the soldier starts petting the dog. He's like, oh, it looks like mine. And one guy thinks it's a German dog. It's going to kill you, you know, and he gives him a little snack and he eats it. Just like these little beautiful moments that, you know, I'm sure really happened back then. Even just the fact that these guys were dropped in another country, you know, whether they were airborne or it stormed on from a beach, just, you know, we would talk about that all the time, just the sheer craziness of the whole thing. Actually, funny enough, when we read a book about this specific mission, you know, Weston's character, Colonel Rutter, went back to the same place 10 years later with his son after the war had ended.
Wow.
And he looked up at the cliff and he said, you know, this was crazy then, and it's still crazy now that we did this. And I just thought that was an amazing thing that took place.
Cool. Absolutely. Yeah. It really shows, you know, sometimes it can be romanticized a little bit. We think that these soldiers are all just disconnected from their emotions and they're all hard, and, you know, and they are. They can completely transform into that, and they can activate that mechanism. But seeing how much, you know, there was a lot of, like, downtime in our story where we got to, you know, sit together and wait, you know, and to converse and stuff, and it just... Can't imagine back then and nowadays people reflecting on what they have at home.
Yeah.
Families, you know, it's
Yeah, it's nice to be like, I think, you know, again, to show where we came from, how we're able to do all this and, you know, be grateful for what we have. The fact that we, you know, can just go down the street and grab any kind of food that we want. You know, what were the stakes that allowed us to do that today? You know, I just think it's really important that people be reminded where we came from and what the stakes were. You know, the people died literally, like, you know, Weston's the same way. We talk about this, like, if ever we see like an American flag on the ground or anything like that, like, we'll pick it up and put it, whether it's those little teeny things that people stick on their front yard or whatever, because like people literally shed blood to make sure that those, so that's, you know, was able to stand tall and what it represents. Definitely. You know,
I mean, that was a real manifestation of good versus evil, you know, true malevolence versus the benevolent duty that all the allies felt. I mean, you have this country that's completely under the influence of nonsense and delusions from a very sick man, and under the impression that they need to exterminate human beings, and then you have people leading with their heart,
right?
To battle, and it's just it's something out of mythology almost. I mean, it's
We learned a lot. We learned a lot. Like, I've also felt like, which I'm sure happened at that time too, like through the whole mix of this, you know, it was a lot of, it was draining what we were doing. And so we would all constantly like make little jokes and things to keep our energy up and keep our, you know, our egos there, you know, whatever. And it was just, I feel like back then too, these guys, no matter what they did, because it was just awful what they had to deal with. So they would kind of probably lighten things up a little bit by, you know, cracking a joke here or you know, doing something fun there just to keep them focused and not just, you know, focus on how horrible this whole thing was. Like, Wes has this great monologue in the movie where this guy's breaking down and he's losing it, and he basically just kind of calms him down and, you know, basically tells him that, you know, this is what war is, and you just kind of have to box it up right now and focus on the mission. And Jeff Mead, the writer, I think he pulled Wes aside during one of the during one of the days before we started. He's like, you know, I really wrote this for, you know, you explain it. He's talking to you about it.
Jeff Mead walked up to me with an email, and he just really wanted me to understand the incontrovertible truth, and that there are people still struggling with the conflict that the character I was speaking to is struggling with, and that this was really written for soldiers, this part, for many people he knows and could think of. And I like a challenge, you know, artistically. So when I was given that obligation, I really just really connected and let myself get vulnerable and started crying off set, really feeling.
Yeah.
And that was a powerful scene, I believe.
Well, I mean, you know, we always talk about the best part of action movies are the best part of movies in general. It's the parts between the action, you know, and we all mentioned Saving Private Ryan being one of our favorite films. I mean, the moments where Hanks talks about how he used to be a teacher, the moments where Ribisi talks about how he used to pretend that he was falling asleep when his mom would come home at night, or pretend that he was asleep. Those are the ones. Yeah, exactly. Those are the moments that you guys are talking about. It's like, it's cool to see shit get blown up, but at the end of the day, you want to see real people with real stakes that have these great moments that you talk about. So,
absolutely.
I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah,
honestly,
super excited, guys. So
I hope you guys like it.
Thank you guys so much for coming on to hang out with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Where can the folks follow along with your careers? If they want to follow you on social media and, you know, comment at you and all that stuff.
I'm on Instagram at Weston Cage.
Cool.
Same with Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Jesse Cove.
You're so lucky. You just got your names. You didn't have to do any underscores or 1-2-3s. That's clever.
I had to pay like $50,000 to get it back from someone in, you know, Indonesia or something. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding.
I've heard real stories like that.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah.
Oh, I was hacked.
Oh, there's an Andrew Garrett guy in Houston who I'm trying to buy his Instagram account off him. He has like 20 followers. He never posts.
It's a business.
I want it. I know. Yeah, I know. Business. He's out to get me.
You can't blame him. I mean, they, you know.
I know. I can't.
Something personal against you is just like,
it is strictly personal against me.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and then Facebook, I can be found, West of Cage Coppola.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. And the movie will be available all over for, you know, streaming. People can rent it all over the place, right, like that?
Yeah, September 13th, it'll be in theaters and on VOD as well.
Cool, perfect. Okay, it drops up.
You guys having a premiere here in L.A.?
I'm not sure yet. I know they're working on something, but you know, right now we're just focusing on our press tour.
And, yeah.
So it's going great.
Excellent, excellent. Well, guys, thank you all so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate everybody being a part of the show. Get your tickets for Action Live, New York Comedy Club, August 29th. Check it out, newyorkcomedyclub.com. Thank you guys for watching. We'll see y'all next time.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.